Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr, and this is quarter number one, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. That's where you can drive your car to Happy Valley for a game, and an RV's all set up and waiting for you. No hassling with parking, as a shuttle will take you to and from the game, tailgate all weekend. And for more information, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. We are doing a bit of a theme for this week, T. Frank, and that theme where I'm going to be asking everyone, all of the guys, the same question, and that is, what are the keys to a successful season for Penn State this year? And by the way, I'm defining a successful season, can you get to 10 wins? 10 wins, I think,
right.
No other way to define it, that's a successful year for Penn State. All right, there you go, T. Frank. What do they need to do to get there?
So I was thinking about this for a while, and really what to me it comes down to is game flow, where you need this season in critical moments to not be behind two touchdowns. In the past, Penn State has gotten away with that because of the quarterback play, the position, and some of those moxie, gutsy, gritty performances you'd get from Trace McSorley. So far, we've seen that be a very inconsistent thing from Sean Clifford, where in some games, he's brought them back. That Indiana game, even though he did create the hole, he got them out of the hole in the final minutes. But there's also been games where he tried to do that, and it imploded. And so, to me, it's you need to have an even hand in most games. You can be down 10, you can be down 3, you down 4, but anything more than that, I think if you're in a double-digit hole heading into the late third, early fourth quarter, I'm not sure that this team is going to, unless they prove otherwise, be able to come back in those critical situations. And from the strength of the team in a bunch of different ways, being in a position where they can put pressure on the quarterback, they can play evenly, all of those things, I think that helps this team the most because there's a lot of things that they're hoping for that will take a step forward in 2021. And in those situations where things, the flip of the coin is about to happen, I think they need to be in position for those things to happen, for those positive regressions to happen. I think you need to be in position where those young players believe they can win the game. And until I see them be able to come back from those fourth quarter deficits, that to me, the game flow is going to dictate that they need to be in the game to be able to win the game. They're not going to come back from being down big in the 2021 season.
It's an interesting concept, T. Frank, because we did have those times, those couple years with Trace McSorley, and I've brought this up in the past, that whenever the Penn State-Wisconsin Big Ten championship game, they're playing it again, a repeat on the Big Ten Network. I will always watch it, and I will always remember how in the first half, what were they down, 3 touchdowns at one point, and still feeling like, no big deal. This team could come back and win this. And they did because they
Because they had done so it fast. All year, right? They had done it all year. They had been a the whole narrative was they were a second-half team. Penn State was definitely not a second-half team last year. The other thing that I think offensively that you mentioned the 2016 team, think about all the home run hitters that team had, all the explosive playmakers on offense they had that could go 60 yards in the blink of an eye, from Mike Gesicki, Saquon Barkley, even Saeed Blacknall was a big play waiting to happen when he got the ball in his hands down the field. So where are those guys on this team? I've been saying for a while they need to find an explosive big play back, and that's not a guarantee right now when your first two guys are more of those grinded out control, 7-8 yard guys in Kevon Lee and Noah Kane. I don't even think John Lovett is a particularly big play back. He's a bigger play back than those guys, but you're really waiting on one of those young guys to take a big step forward, and you're not guaranteed that. Aside from that, the receivers, I love Parker Washington. I don't know if they're going to use him down the field. Brenton Strange can be a big-time playmaker. He's got great speed. But we don't know how Mike Yurcich is going to use those players. He likes to throw the ball down the field, but right now they don't have any proven vertical threats outside of Jahan Dotson. So where are those big players, and will they step up early in the season? Because they've got to step up early in the season. That will determine to me a lot of changing my opinion on what the game flow is, because if they don't have guys that can score 60 on a play, then they do have to make sure they're in the game at all times to be effective.
It's interesting. James Franklin has talked about with Mike Yurcich, it's more like Joe Moorhead again at offensive coordinator. Yeah. The insinuation is we can see more big plays. I guess my question is, how much of that is based on, you talked about the wide receivers and running backs being big play guys. How much of that is on the offensive coordinator to make that happen and the quarterback to make that happen?
So you've got to get open. I think that's an important factor here, is that you've got to be able to make the play. So that is from everything I've heard of Mike Yurcich, he's not going to put guys in bad positions. I was just listening to something he said on BTN when they were in camp, and he said it's about players, formations, and plays in that order. So he's looking at his personnel, and he's going to try and put them in position to succeed. That is a great thing to hear, that he's not going to force his offense to work the way he wants it to. He's going to work his offense to his players. Great sign. But what are the skills of those players? And yes, it is. This is another thing that's important to understand about Mike Yurcich, is everyone throws the ball short to set up, you know, the run game. They throw the ball short to set up the deep passing game. That's how most college offenses work. It's how aggressive are you after that? And Mike Yurcich is one of the most aggressive offensive coordinators in college football, at least in his track record. Last year, only two quarterbacks threw the ball deep more than Sam Ellinger at Texas. And I don't think Texas was particularly talented at the receiver position. I think they had some good players, but maybe comparable to what Penn State has, if Penn State has talent in more unique places. So putting those players in position to succeed will in some ways determine what the offense looks like. Is it more intermediate throws that then they have a chance to run? And then that becomes, does the quarterback put the ball in a spot where they can do those things? So yeah, it's all married together. The quarterback delivering the ball, pulling the trigger is always going to be a huge part of it. But if he's put in an advantageous situation because the scheme is giving him easier throws, because the players are being put in easier positions to get open, and they're using their particular skills to do that, then yes, the whole thing synergistically works better together. It's just being able to do that and having enough things that you can do that the defense can't key on them. And that will be, I think, a big part of whether or not the offense is explosive or not.
And that's where I imagine the true RPO offense, as you said, if you do the run part of the RPO successfully enough times, the defense has to account for that. And guess what? That's what sets up the pass over the top.
So I want to just correct you slightly, this is a really interesting distinction though between last year and this year. Kirk Ciarrocca believed in explosive passes as well. He believed in how he wanted to attack downfield vertically with receivers. The difference was he stacked players in the box, big formations, and then throw the ball down the field into small windows with fewer defenders out in the secondary. Spreading the ball out, that's the difference. It's a different way of attacking that way. So it may not be the run part that sets it up as much as the situation and the alignment that sets up whether or not you run. Now, you still want to be effective and run the ball when you want to run the ball. And Mike Yurcich has talked about that, but when the rubber meets the road, if they need to throw eight bubble screens to loosen up the defense, that's a similar thing to the running game as well. So that's a very important distinction in that situation between the two, and I think we'll illuminate, and you'll see that as we get into the season with Mike Yurcich.
And also, when you talk about spreading out the defense, it's not just vertically, it's also horizontally.
Exactly. You know,
using the entire field. We talked mostly about the offense. What has to happen, though, on the other side of the ball, T. Frank, for this team to be successful?
I think just less negative plays. I've been thinking about this, and I did a show this week talking about players that have the best chance of having rebound seasons, improved players. And a couple of them are just guys that are put in better situations to succeed, one being P.J. Mustipher, that he's decided, along with Brent Pry and John Scott Jr., that he's going to be the nose tackle this year. Now, we've talked about on the show before what that really means for the Penn State defense, but for him, he's up to 326. He's playing that interior run-stuffing primary position. He's going to be in that position more often. So I think that's going to allow him, with that skill set, to be effective on the defensive side of the ball. Talk about Brandon Smith moving to that Will linebacker position, more to his skill set and his strength where he's not out in space as much, and he can make those instinctive plays. And then some guys that were on the defense that just didn't know the defense because they didn't have time to practice. That is not a problem this year. So guys being in position to succeed and then being able to make those plays and not make negative plays. I don't think you need to have this gigantic jump in huge positive, you know, game-changing plays. If Penn State's offense or defense gets back to where they were previously and they're a good unit, that is a titanic swing. Well, you're not giving up 30 points in the first half. If they just don't do that, that puts that game flow thing that we started with into a better alignment, and it gives the offense less pressure to succeed. And that's another part of this year that I think is going to be a critical factor is, you know, that secondary does have a chance to be the strength of the team, but are those guys in position where they are not making mistakes this year because they know their assignments? Last year, there was a bunch of busted coverages and players that were trying to overcome mistakes elsewhere. And that just pulls more people out of position. You have more busts. You have more big plays. Playing with discipline and playing in position is going to be a huge part of the story, I think, for the Penn State defense this year.
We did a segment with a coach who looked at the game film, Maryland game specifically, which is probably the best example or worst example, depending on perspective, that players did make mistakes, were out of position, and that's what created the big plays. How much of that is on the players, how much on the coaches, and how much just on the type of season last year, lack of practice time?
So that last part is the biggest caveat, because just for an example, and not to make what I do sound important, but like I do this every day, right? I'm on camera or I'm on radio. I'm talking. I'm getting better at this every day. If you have zero practice and you've got to go perform, you didn't get to rehearse your lines with anybody, then that's really hard. That being said, the guys that were making the mistakes were guys that had been in the program a while. And that, to me, that's when you say, okay, that's on the player. Is, yes, you may not have had as many recent reps, but you absolutely know the defense. You should absolutely know the defense at this point. So last year, I think part of it was personnel, but part of it was not being able to practice together, and that made all of those things much worse.
Okay, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around, we got a lot more to go. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.